You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to a rare early morning edition of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose of Sports Talk 790, and this is a special post-game recap edition of the NBA Global Games. The Rockets are in China playing the New Orleans Pelicans on today, Sunday, as well as Wednesday morning. Games are, of course, at night in China, which means they take place at 6:30 a.m. Houston time. But even on a Sunday, a lot of us were up and ready to watch the Rockets play relatively well. It was certainly ragged at points. But overall, they're 3-0, 123-117 win over the Pelicans. And there's a decent bit of positive takeaways from this game. James Harden had a great game from a big picture number standpoint, 26 points, 15 assists, 7 rebounds. Mike D'Antoni said after the game that he's even a better point guard than he imagined. Downside, of course, you could see a lot of the, I'd say, China legs. I don't want to say tired legs. I don't think the Rockets are fatigued after a week. I think their body clocks are off. And, you know, people in Houston, this feels like to their bodies, they're playing at 6:30. And I thought there were times for a lot of the guys that it looked that way. Harden just shot 6 of 18, 3 of 9 from 3. Both of those definitely below his normal percentages. Also had 8 turnovers. So it certainly wasn't a perfect game. Nene had 6 fouls in 15 minutes, fouled out, had a lot of reaches. So I think especially some of your veterans, you could see the travel catching up with them. But a lot of bright spots too. Ryan Anderson continued his brilliant shooting, 7 of 14 overall, 4 of 7 from 3, 21 points in 38 minutes. Eric Gordon, 8 of 16 overall, 5 of 10 from 3, 24 points in 30 minutes, including basically the go-ahead 3 in the last minute to put the Rockets in the lead to stay. And a lot of people are asking, why did the Rockets care to win this game so much? Because other than Clint Capella, the Rockets pretty much had their starters out there to close the game. James Harden, Eric Gordon, Ariza, Ryan Anderson, and Montrezl Harrell at center. And we heard from Mike D'Antoni afterward that he wants himself and James Harden to be in sync. Basically, they want film of these close and late situations to see what works, to see what doesn't. And the best way to do it is to, if the game is that close in the last few minutes, just let it roll out there, because that's one thing that you can't really simulate. This crowd in China, it felt like a regular season game. They were into it. It's close. They want to win. And even if it's the preseason, even if the Pelicans don't have all their starters out there, although the Pelicans, they did have some. Omer Asik was out there at center. They also had Etuan Moore. It wasn't like they had just a third string out there. Anthony Davis wasn't playing, but besides him, they did have a lot of their regulars. But you can't replicate close and late situations. That's what the Rockets wanted to do. And I think they're going to find some things that that worked and some things that didn't. I thought a couple of times the ball got sticky. Harden launched a couple of threes we didn't have to. But I thought the transition game was really strong. How he found Eric Gordon sneaking behind that line for the three to go ahead. They found Harrell underneath a couple of times. Generally, I thought the ball movement was solid. Montrezl Harrell, by the way, made a couple of great plays in this game. Of course, he's a force in transition. You would expect Harrell, if he's at the five, to be more athletic than most of the big men he goes up against, like Omer Asik, and he certainly took advantage of that, running the floor. And not only did he do that, he also made the game-clenching play on defense. When the Rockets were up 4 in the final seconds, he stripped Buddy Hield clean and then took it the length of the floor for a dunk to put it away. And then, you know, we've heard questions about Harrell's maturity. He had the incident with the official last year, and, you know, you could see flashes of that late in the game when he was jawing with Etuan Moore and a couple of the Pelicans. But you know what? You like the passion. And so I think that's one thing that you're seeing from these Rockets on both ends of the floor. There's a lot to clean up, but the passion is absolutely there. There was actually a great play in the last couple of minutes where Harden ended up fouling Omer Asik, and Asik went 1 of 2 from the line. But the reason it was an interesting play, of course, you're not going to have any rim protection if you're playing Ryan Anderson and Montrezl Harrell as your 4 and 5. And so the Rockets saw the Pelicans run basically a high-low play against them where Oshik slipped down, and it would have been so easy just to give up the dunk. But Harden rotated over as hard as he could, wrapped up Oshik on the shot, did not allow him to get a clean look at the basket. And knowing that he's not a great free-throw shooter, you know, he sent in line, missed one of two, I think the effort's generally been pretty good. And that's what you really want to see, especially in the preseason. Harden is rotating hard. Ryan Anderson, his defense definitely not good. We've talked about his lack of lateral quickness before, but he's certainly trying. He had a lot of effort rebounds, effort tips, plays that speak well to the culture. You're not always going to be great defensively, and certainly the Rockets gave up 117 points to the Pelicans. That's not ideal, but I don't think you're looking at the same bad culture that they had a year ago where, you know, someone's poor effort bleeds into the rest of the team, as we saw with the likes of Trevor Ariza and Corey Brewer, traditionally pretty good defenders. Even those guys struggled last year, and I think that speaks to the culture angle. I don't think that that's happening so far. There's certainly going to be limitations between the roster's lack of defensive ability, the style at which they play, the lack of a proven rim protector. Again, the Rockets aren't going to be a good defensive team. You're hoping that they can be average, which combined with their really good offense can have them as a good team. But you're not seeing the signs that you saw a year ago of a culture infestation, is the way I would put it. These guys are working pretty hard. There's things that they need to clean up, absolutely, but this is not the Rockets defense that we saw a few months ago. The other thing defensively that held them back a little bit in this game was the absence of Pat Beverley. Now, again, I've said before on this show, the Rockets do not think this is a long-term consideration with Beverley's knee. They just think it's some soreness that they're going to let him rest, not put him through all the travel to China for a couple of preseason games. But when Beverley's not out there, it really hits home just how dependent the Rockets are on him to stop opposing point guards. Because James Harden and Eric Gordon, it's not a matter of effort. Those guys are shooting guards defensively. You're looking at 6'4", 6'5", wings. They don't have the lateral quickness. Well, Harden might, but you're going to wear him out if you're asking him to stop these jitterbug point guards who penetrate at all costs. And so when I look at the breakdowns the Rockets had Sunday morning against the Pelicans, second and third quarters especially, what I saw was just an inability to stop the ball because there's no one you can put on those probing point guards and stop it. And then when that kind of point guard gets in the middle of defense, it breaks everything down because somebody else has to help, and it ends up leading to an open shot or someone out of position and a foul way too easily. So, you know, hopefully Beverley gets back because he's the one guy that's fully capable of guarding those types of point guards. The other thing, if you want some optimism, I thought Corey Brewer did a pretty good job of picking up those guards. He can at times, even though he's, a 6'7", 6'8", type player, he's got the speed that he can pick up a point guard in a way that James Harden and Eric Gordon can't. So at times when Brewer was in there, I thought he was very steady defensively, and I think that reflected in his plus-minus. His plus 14 was the best of anyone on the Rockets roster, and I think defensively he helped steady them a bit in the absence of Pat Beverley. Of course, the Rockets didn't play Brewer that much because, again, like Harden and Nene, he's a veteran. They don't want to wear him down, especially with these very odd travel times and schedules for these players. But I think he can do a good job of that in a pinch if anything happens to Pat Beverley. I think you like Corey Brewer's ability to stop the ball. He's a steadying presence defensively. KJ McDaniels, he's a great off-ball defender in terms of his ability to read passing lanes, get shot blocks. On the ball, he's not a stopper at this point, and a lot of it could be just his inexperience. He certainly has the tools defensively to be a very good defensive player, not just away from the ball, but on the ball. But for right now, other than Pat Beverley, Corey Brewer might be your next best option for those kind of quick guards that like to penetrate and get in the lane. So I don't think he was overextended in that Sunday. I think Brewer's minutes were certainly capped given the preseason and given some of the extenuating circumstances. But big picture, if Pat Beverley does suffer a real injury at some point or if he gets in foul trouble, Brewer might be your second best option. And that's yet another reason why I think people might have been too down, myself included, on Corey coming into the year, because he does have some skills that other players on this Rockets roster just don't have at this particular point in time. Now, with that said, that's my thoughts on the main takeaways from this game. I'm certainly not the only voice on Rockets Twitter, so to help me break down what we learned, I'm going to bring on Ali Bajani. You know him on Twitter as Rockets_Insider. Great follow, not just in terms of typical game watching stuff, but he really goes in depth, does a great job of film study, has a piece on ESPN Houston called The Insider, where he breaks down really well from a set standpoint, what worked, what didn't, and giving you basically a coach's look at the Houston Rockets. So again, these are my big picture observations, what stood out to me. Ollie looks at the game a little bit differently. So if you guys will hold on just a moment, I'm going to get Ollie connected. Hopefully he has enough coffee, because again, we are taping on Sunday morning, rare time, but assuming he's got enough coffee, Ollie should be on with us momentarily. Ollie, welcome into the post game, buddy. Good morning, by the way.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, it's a very early morning.
Yeah, you wouldn't necessarily anticipate a 6:30 a.m. wake-up call on the weekend. But at least it's a win. It wasn't the prettiest game, but certainly winning a game like that is better than losing. Not the best game for James Harden. Of course, his overall stats, 26 and 15 are good, but shot 33% from the field, had the 8 turnovers, played a little bit better down the stretch. What were your takeaways from James, and how much better did he play late relative to some of the struggles he had earlier on?
You know, I think in the first quarter he played well. He played like a spread option quarterback. By that I mean that if the Pelicans took away the corner, he'd pass it a slot. If he, you know, they took away the shooters, he would drive inside. And he was playing really well in the first quarter. And then in the second quarter, it got a little bit hard on them. Pelicans, what they would do is they would cheat on the pick and roll. So they would show that they, you know what, they're going to, you know, double him inside, but then they would force him to make the pass and force a turnover. So he had a couple turnovers there where Anthony Davis's length forced him to make some passes, and Pelicans were in the right spot. And so those are some bad turnovers that, you know, added up to accumulate to some of those 8. But I think he played well, especially late. His passing is great. I mean, we know that. We've seen that, you know, since his time here in Houston, it's pretty evident, especially in the preseason, that he's on point. His passes are straight to the shooters. They're getting it and catching in rhythm and knocking them down. And it also helps when guys like Eric Gordon are shooting 5 of 10 and Ryan Anderson are 4 of 7 from 3.
Yeah.
Those are your two best shooters on the floor, and the more shots they take and the more shots they make will only help your team.
Yeah, one thing that I would say, I think the preseason is just blowing the silly narrative to smithereens about, you know, Harden being too selfish to be a point guard. I think those of us who actually watched the Rockets knew how silly that was. But, you know, he's putting up 15 assists and not even fully starters minutes. I mean, this guy in the preseason,
he had 4 assists. He had 4 assists in the first few minutes. And I'm like, when is he going to take his first shot?
Oh, yeah.
He kept looking to make the pass. And that narrative is so ridiculous in terms of that. Yeah, Harden is not a selfish player. He looks to establish his teammates before himself every single game.
Yeah. You spoke about Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon's great shooting. Anderson in particular, he's had a really good game and a half. It feels like, you know, he got off to a slow start, subpar game against Shanghai, struggled a little bit against the Knicks. Of course, we're talking an incredibly small sample in preseason, but today I'm looking at the box score, 7 of 14 overall, 4 of 7 from 3. 21 points in 38 minutes, and of course that's against the defense of Anthony Davis for a decent bit of those minutes. How good was Ryan, at least offensively, relative to your expectations?
You know, it's great to have a stretch four on the team. He's given so much more space to this offense and the crazy part is that I don't know why the first, you know, 3 games they've played, teams still leave him open. Like, in transition, they can't locate where he is. Or in the half court, they'll double off of him and let him shoot a wide-open 3. And Harden knows that. He's passing it to every single time. But I think what Ryan is doing is he's playing within the scheme. So whenever they run a pick-and-roll and the team switch, he'll go down and low-block, then he'll take his fadeaway jumper, which is effective. You know, he's playing to his strengths. He's playing to his scheme. And I think as long as he continues to do that and doesn't force anything like he did last season and the few previous seasons, I think he'll be fine. I think he'll contribute really well.
Yeah. Less positive things. Certainly there were times the defense was choppy. To me, it felt like a classic China game. You know, you referenced Harden. He came out of the gate really strong. And then, you know, second part of the first quarter, especially the second and third, it just seemed like some of these guys didn't have their usual lift. You know, and it wasn't just defensively because, you know, everybody wants to pick on Harden for that. But, you know, he shot 6 of 18. He had a lot of shots that were short. Nene, who's played really well. Nene ended up fouling out 6 fouls in 15 minutes. It felt like a lot, especially your veterans just didn't quite have, it felt like they were playing a game at 6:30 a.m., their body time. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I mean, it was pretty evident in the first 2 games as well that the rotations are off. They're still working defensively. You know, this is the first game they tried switching, so I know they've been working on it in practice, but, you know, could this China thing had something going on with them? Nene, he kept overreaching. He wasn't fast enough on the rotation. You know, there were a lot of things in the paint that I thought that, you know, if this was a regular season and they were playing more consistently, you know, every few days or every other day, I think some of these mistakes would be corrected. But yeah, defensively, I think they're still in work in progress. And combine that with this, you know, China time, like, yeah, they did not look good.
Yeah. More positive things. Of course, with the foul trouble at center with Nene, just talked about him fouling out in 15 minutes. Capella, I thought Clint looked pretty good, but certainly they didn't want to overextend him. Montrezl Harrell played minutes at center down the stretch, and granted, I shouldn't say against all backups for the Pelicans because they had Oshik out there, but I thought Harrell at times, especially the last couple of minutes of the game, looked pretty good. Were you surprised at all to see him playing significant minutes at center?
You know, Coach D'Antoni said this in a press conference after the game that he thinks that Clint Capella, Nene, and Montrezl Harrell will play the 5 spot this season. Those are their 5. I mean, those are their 3 fives in the lineup. So, you know, I wasn't surprised, but I think it's, you know, pretty clear to me that, you know, they want a rim protector there. They want somebody who can, you know, consistently fight for rebounds and allow the other guys to run out on the floor. And I think Montrezl did a good job of that today. Do I think that he can still improve? Yes. Do I think he's not there defensively yet? Mm-hmm. Yes. I think that he's going to. He still has inconsistency in his game. I think, you know, this year will be a lot like for him, like what KJ was last year. Except Montrezl, hopefully, we'll see more playing time either here or in RJV. But I think that this is another year where Montrezl is developing his offensive game and especially his defensive game. We see him take the next step into seeing how can he be a competent shot blocker.
Yeah.
He's there at times, and sometimes he rotates a little too late, or sometimes he goes for the pump fake, and then that leaves the rim wide open for extra pass for the offense. So
yeah.
I think that this season we'll see him develop his game as a complete defensive player, and then from there I think we'll see more consistent play. Like, you know, there's no question his athletic ability is great. You saw that dunk at the end of the game. He stole the ball, ran the break, and dunked it down. Like, we know the potential he has. I think it's just all about putting all that together.
Yeah. You mentioned KJ McDaniels. Obviously, this was a great game for him. Another one. 11 points, 8 rebounds, 2 blocks in just 20 minutes. Shot 50% from the field, even made a 3. Is there any doubt at all in your mind that KJ is a rotation player? At this point, it seems pretty clear that when the season opens up, he's going to have a role.
I think him and Brewer play really well together. And I've said this on my post, and I've said this on Twitter. I think that it's great that you're playing those two guys together. Now, albeit you need one of them to hit a couple threes during the game, but I think it's great because you have two lengthy defenders who are quick and athletic enough to finish in transition and defend ball handlers for the opposing team. And the way KJ is playing right now, yes, you know what, he does struggle. You know, he struggles on ball, but I do think that over time, once he gets more playing time and he sees how some of these players are playing him, how quickly they cut, how quickly they move without the ball, I think he'll adjust to that.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I think he's playing well off ball. You know, he's making some great decisions. I think Jeff does a great job of informing him, hey, you see this, you go attack. And we've seen him, you know, escape, you know, move away from his defender and rotate all the way inside and force a tough shot as a weak side shot blocker, right? So I think he's a great free safety. He reminds me a lot of somebody who has that free reign. And I think over the season, once he gets, you know, more playing time and he gets more comfortable in that role, I think we'll see more, like, we'll see even more athletic play.
Yeah. The other reason I like him, and it's similar to Brewer 2 years ago when he was right, I feel like those guys can give you some off-script things on offense. One thing that we've seen a lot these last couple of games is it feels like at least once or twice a game, KJ's due for a play where he just reads the offensive rebound perfectly and gets that follow slam. And so, you know, even in Mike D'Antoni's offense, there are going to be periods when the ball gets sticky, you're missing some shots, and, you know, you get out of rhythm. And it just feels like, yeah, it's preseason, but McDaniels is that kind of guy that the Rockets didn't have last year. Someone that can, you know, make some off-script plays and kind of snap you out of, you know, a funk in the middle of a game. I think that's a big thing. Corey Brewer, you referenced him. He led the way plus-minus. He was plus 14. What is he doing better this preseason than last year? I mean, the thing that sticks out to me, he just feels very steady. You're not seeing any of those terrible mistakes that you saw a year ago. He seems to be playing a lot more within himself. What have you noticed from Corey these first three games?
You know, it's pretty evident in all the Rockets players. They're playing to their roles and they're playing to their strengths. I think one thing that hasn't been highlighted enough with Mike D'Antoni's you know, start as a coach here, is that he's done a great job of letting these players know, hey, I want you to do this, and I want you to concentrate on justice. Brewer, what he's been doing, he hasn't been gambling in the passing lanes too much. When he sees it, he'll take it, but they're more calculated. They're having, it's not like what he did last year when he would just gamble and basically lose, you know, lose his defensive assignment. Yeah. But I also think that when he's attacking in transition, he's staying in that lane. He's making sure he's, you know, working in cohesion with Harden, that synergy is there where Harden knows, hey, I know where Brewer's going to be. I know that he can finish as well. And he's not being sporadic. As long as he does those three things, he'll be fine. And, you know, he's hitting the three. It's not going to be there every night. But yeah, if he can knock that three down most nights and give him at least one three to help, to, you know, make sure the defense respects him, that's just going to help the offense in the second unit even more.
Yeah. One thing that he did that kind of stood out to me, early on in the game when the Rockets in the first half were struggling defensively, I thought that Pat Beverly's absence was pretty notable. And I said this on Twitter, and that Beverly is the one guy that you can trust to really stop penetration. You know, that you can put on a quicker, smaller guard and expect him to stay in front of you, because James Harden and Eric Gordon, at least defensively, these guys are shooting guards. They're not really made for controlling the jitterbug types. One thing that I think Brewer has done pretty well so far this preseason, at stretches of his career, he can be a decent on-ball defender. You know, even at his height, I feel like, you know, you can put him on a guard and he can at least hold his own. And I think that's going to be big, especially if Pat Beverly misses any time with injury, or if Beverly is you know, just rusting the minutes he's not in the game. I just feel like Brewer's length gives them some steadiness defensively that, you know, Harden and Gordon just can't do physically. Is that at all fair to say?
I think that's very fair to say, and I think that's one leg up that Brewer has over KJ right now, is that even though Brewer does take those gambles defensively, he has handled these ball handlers in the past. And I think right now you trust him a little bit more over KJ just because KJ's still developing and he's still adjusting. I think KJ gets, you know, he loses track. When a speedy player makes a cut, sometimes he can recover. Yeah, he can recover, but he sometimes, you know, gets lost in that. So I think over time when KJ improves, I think he'll be right there with Corey in terms of guarding those assignments. But at the same time, right now, I think Corey Brewer will play that role, especially if Pat Bev is unfortunately out for an extended period of time, which we don't know yet.
Yeah. Other real quick thing with Beverly out, Prigioni again played a pretty significant role. Now only 12 minutes, but it's pretty clear that if the season opened today, especially without Beverly, Prigioni would be getting minutes. I actually thought he played pretty well. I was hard on him his first couple of games. I thought he did a much better job tonight of initiating the offense and getting the Rockets into their sets. And, you know, when they made that big run late in the first quarter and early in the second, I thought the way Prigioni was running that offense was exactly what Mike D'Antoni wanted. Was this a good game for him?
Yeah, I think it was. And I think you're seeing the New York Knicks, Pablo Prigioni, finally. I think when he was with us a couple seasons ago, he came here. He was very scared to shoot the ball. He didn't want to force a pass. And I think that's still other. He's not forcing passes, but he's making the right play. And he's playing within the scheme. And like I keep referring to within the scheme because it's true. These players are doing a great job of not forcing anything. You know, they know what's around them. They know they have a shooter here. They know what player's about to cut here. As long as Pablo just facilitates, he doesn't have to force anything. As long as he, you know, passes the ball, keeps the ball moving, the Rockets will be fine, especially when Harden is off the floor, and that's when the Rockets need offense the most.
Yeah. Another quick take I wanted to get from you. You mentioned your surprise in seeing the pick and roll early in the game with Ariza as the handler. Actually had a great lob to Capella on one of those plays. Your thoughts on that play? You think it's an option going forward?
You know, I'm not really, you know, a guy who's big on Ariza running the pick and roll.
Yeah.
He saw that 2009 year, and that wasn't that well. And you saw that last season, too, that had some turnovers. But, you know, Matt D'Antoni's proved me wrong so far on a couple of things. But, you know, I think Ariza's, you know, he's run that a few times in the preseason. And today's game, there were no turnovers off his pick and roll. So as long as that continues, I'm okay with it. I don't think it's something that you want to see more regularly. I think once, twice, or three times, a game is okay. I think you just keep the defense on it. You know, one player who I am seeing just quickly as a secondary ball handler is Eric Gordon.
Yeah,
he's been great. You know, we think of him as a shooter and who's going to space the floor, but you know, 353 I think in the first and second quarter, I have the time written down. He split an ice defense, made a hesitation move, took a long step inside Anthony Davis, and played the angle to score over him. Now, that's a great move by a guy who we didn't expect to create off the dribble. So I think if Eric Gordon can continue to be that secondary ball handler,
yep,
and make plays like these just to keep the defense honest, and especially when Harden is sitting, I think the Rockets will be fine, and I think that the offense will come.
Yep.
And so as long as, you know, guys like Ariza and Gordon, whatever they are running these pick and rolls, aren't turning the ball over and actually moving the basketball, which is within the scheme, the Rockets will be fine.
Yeah. Last question for you. It's 9 a.m. Sunday morning. We're taping this after the Rockets went over the Pelicans. They're now 3-0 in the preseason. This time last week, the preseason had not even started. I'm not going to sit here and say this game was beautiful, because there were certainly patches where it was very ragged. But all in all, the last week, these three games, are they about where you expected, ahead of where you expected? Just a broad sense, where is this team relative to, you know, what you thought a week ago when you were waking up Sunday morning and getting ready for the first game?
You know, I think they're right about where I am defensively, because I didn't expect them to be fix everything right away. But I think offensively, they're a little bit, they've exceeded my expectations a little bit, just because the way Harden has meshed into this offense. He knows where his players are. And I think one of the biggest reasons why is because D'Antoni's played to his strengths. I've seen some sets here and there where they revert back to 2014-2015 season, Harden's runner-up MVP season. And I, as long as Harden is comfortable in the system and he knows where his players are and he's making those passes and his conditioning is right, and so far it looks like it is, I think the Rockets, like, offensively are great. I think defensively is where I kind of expected this slow start to happen, but I think over time they'll get better. But I think Rockets fans should be excited. I think, you know, don't expect, hey, we're going to be world beaters and finish first, second, or third in the conference. I don't think you should expect that. But I think you should expect a team who's going to fight and who's going to give effort. I don't think today there were a lot of times, but, you know, they lost. You know, they get lost on defensive rotations, but I don't see those that getting lost as a lack of effort. Mm-hmm. I think that's a lack of lack of not being around each other to communicate well enough. So I think that preseason takeaways, you know, as much as you want to take a grain of salt, I think at the same time you can see, hey, they're putting in the effort to make sure that what happened last season doesn't happen again. And I think that's a big start.
Yeah. That's Ali Bajani, Rockets Insider on Twitter. Ali, before we let you go, toss out, well, obviously your Twitter handle, but also where people can find your work these days. I know you've got a new series, The Insider. Just basically tell people where they can find you.
Yeah, so, you know, I cover Houston Rockets for ESPN Houston and SB Nation Radio. So you can find me on ESPN975.com after every game. I usually have a post called The Insider, which is basically my thoughts and observations, like film study analysis. Everything is there, quotes. So make sure to check that out. If you can't watch the game, this is probably your next best thing besides the Lockdown Rockets podcast.
appreciate it.
To get some information. But yeah, thank you for having me on, Ben. Really appreciate that.
Sure thing. Thank you for sipping enough coffee to get through this. Talk to you soon, buddy.
Yeah, talk to you soon.
All right, bye. That was Ali Bajani, aka Rockets Insider on Twitter. If you're not following him already, I don't know what you're doing with your life, but you can find him at Rockets _ Insider. Great guy, tremendous asset to the Houston Rockets community with how he looks at things from a coach's perspective and some of the X's and O's film breakdown. As he said, you can also find his work, The Insider, at ESPN Houston's website. And again, he does a really good job of blending the traditional analysis with some of the more advanced tools, films of the sets the Rockets ran. Basically looks at it from the coach's perspective in an angle that even people like me aren't always lucky enough to see. So again, that's Ollie, Rockets Insider. Thanks to him for joining us on this early Sunday morning, and thanks to all of you guys who care enough about the Rockets to get up and engage with us on this Sunday morning that the Rockets, of course, it's Sunday night for them in China, but thanks to all of you for listening. You can find me on Twitter at Ben DuBose. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. You can always email the show at LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. If you've got any questions for me, sponsorship inquiries, you name it, we want to be the go-to source for Houston Rockets news. So if you want to reach out to me or that community, just let me know and I will be happy to help. Anyway, happy final from, well, Shanghai. And wanted to say from Toyota Center, but not today. Happy final from Shanghai. Rockets 123, Pelicans 117. Rockets now 3-0 in the preseason. They'll be back at it on Wednesday in Beijing against these same Pelicans. So again, I'm Ben DuBose. This is Locked On Rockets. And we'll be talking with you again in the next couple of days.